Pressure coming. Picked up Romo. Tries to slide out of the pocket. Chased down from behind. Great job there by the Seahawks of making sure he had absolutely nowhere to go before Cliff Avril got him. And Romo is slow to get up.
And that is...
He is here. He is in the studio. Jacksonville's Cliff Avril, responsible for knocking Tony Romo upstairs into the television booth. Did you know at that time that would be the end of the career?
I mean, for Tony. I didn't try to end it. I definitely didn't try to end it. It's unfortunate what happened, but, he's doing some good things now.
Yeah, he is. He's a talented guy, and he is going to move on, much like yourself, a very talented guy. You're doing some great things. We talked about it with you last year out at the Best Bet. We'll get into that momentarily, everything you're doing over in Haiti. But first things first, you got about another month until your report back with the Seahawks in Seattle.
Yeah.
How's the summer gone?
No, summer's going well. Just grinding. I've been obviously doing a lot of charity stuff, but at the same time, I'm hitting the field every day, hitting the weight room every day, just trying to get back to where I was last year.
Talk with Cliff Avril. He's hanging out with us for a couple of segments, and you guys can hit the text line if you want, 641-1010, and we'll try and throw a couple questions at Cliff. But, coming out of this past season, the Seattle Seahawks have easily been in the Super Bowl conversation.
Yeah.
What do you think about this team going forward into this year with all that chatter that's been going on with Richard Sherman and everything?
Man, I think sky's the limit for us as long as we're able to stay healthy. Our core group of guys are intact. Everybody's still playing at a high level, from Mike Bennett to Bobby Wagner, Sherm, obviously getting Earl back and healthy. I think, sky's the limit for us, again, as long as we stay healthy.
Yeah, I know it's a business, man, but I brought this up the other day when we was talking about you, and I said I'm going to bring it up. Isn't it funny that Detroit is still trying to find a left defensive end? They're still trying to replace you, man.
Yeah, that was hey, that's on them. I'm happy with the move now.
There you go.
I don't win a Super Bowl. I don't win it to the Pro Bowl. Hey, it's working out for me.
There you go. How you feel about some of the young guys you got? They took the young kid out of Michigan State this year and – Clark out of Michigan.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll seems to know how to find guys. They always say, well, he's a tweener, well, he doesn't do this. It just seems like he finds guys that just know how to get after them and go after the ball.
Yeah, he also has some good leaders on the D-line, too.
Oh, yeah.
I like some of the young guys that they brought in. Nobody has pads on right now. It's all helmets and stuff like that, so everybody looks good. The true test is going to be, the first few weeks of camp. But, the potential for those guys the sky's the limit for those guys, as long as they, continue to work and hopefully follow our lead a little bit. But, Coach Carroll and those guys do a great job of finding some players that can step in and try to help us win some games.
31 now, just turned that a few months ago. 10 years in the league.
Man.
How do things change for you as far as, taking care of the body and being able to get ready for the regular season?
That's most important, man. That's what I've learned in the last couple of years. Also, shout out to Coach Carroll and our recovery staff. They do a great job with some of the veteran guys like myself and Mike Bennett as far as for the workload during the week.
Yeah.
It's not as crazy as it was when, you first get in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So they take good care of us. But also myself, getting massages, getting the cold tubs, getting, the stretches and all these different things, the film study, all those things have increased more since I'm not, as physical during the week. So, that the recovery is a big thing for us. As you get older, it tends to take a little longer to recover. So doing those things help out.
Talking with Cliff Avril. He's hanging out with us here in the studios today. We're going to get to some of that great work in Haiti, because it really has been getting a lot of coverage nationally, not just locally, which is pretty cool. Can you boil down Pete Carroll to one sentence? What's the best way to describe what he does? Because he seems to really get the best out of everybody.
What you see on TV is kind of what we get every day. The energy that he brings every day. It took me, honestly, 3 years to actually believe that he was the guy that, he showed. Because, when you're signing with a team, obviously you're going to get the best foot forward. You're going to get all the energy. You're going to, everybody loves you. This guy is like this every single day. And it's kind of weird, for me to see that, as a veteran, to come into a situation where the coach is always, has a lot of energy. Mind you, he's probably one of the oldest coaches in the league. He has the most energy. You'll see him before practice throwing the ball 60, 70 yards downfield. I'm Like, I can't do that. I'm 30 years old. You know what I'm saying? So to see that every day, and, you know, it's a snowball effect. So he has all the energy, and he kind of wants the same – the coaches, the position coaches to have that same energy. And it allows guys to go out there and have fun and enjoy the game, you know. So I'm happy, if, you know, for as a veteran, you know, it's a great situation to be in.
Two things. One is – we talked the other day, and we were mentioning schools that are famous for guys that are defensive end slash outside linebackers.
Yeah.
These two SEC homers over here mentioned Missouri. Now, granted,
who they got?
Shane Ray and who Golden and Aldon Smith and those guys. They are, but going back ever since we had Aiken Adell here.
Yes, yes.
It seems like everybody who's 6'3", 250-ish.
Yes, speak on it.
Whether it's Anthony Spencer.
Boyle makes.
Sean Phillips.
Boiler up.
Ryan Kerrigan.
Yes.
And you.
The list.
What the hell is it about a tweener 6'3", 250-pound dude that goes to Purdue?
Roosevelt Coven. Let's not forget him.
Oh, Rosie.
There you go. Kawhan Short.
He's going to drop one in there.
What do you mean, Kawhan Short?
No, he's a big dude.
He's a big boy.
I'm talking about that edge rusher.
The edge rushers, yes.
That guy that has the unique Ngakoue body.
I thought they were only big offensive linemen at Purdue. For
Ray Edwards. The people don't realize this. Every guy that I played with at Purdue at some point played in the NFL and probably played for 5+ years. I don't know. They did a great job of finding the guys that they felt like, you know, can get after the quarterback, but also drop back in coverage. And, you know, some of the guys that, like Anthony Spencer, nobody thought he would be able to stand up and, you know, be productive. And he went out there and dominated for a few years. You know, myself, Kerrigan, you know, Coach Speck, hats off to him. Brock Speck, he's who recruited me, but he's also the guy that recruited most of those other guys as well. And he just had an eye out for it. Yeah. And you know, fortunately, we were able to make some things happen in the league as
now,
well.
Now, the Jaguars drafted a running back, a big running back with a top 4 pick. Until last year with Zeke, people said that you can't do that. I said you can. I said, but for it to work, the running back has to basically embody the attitude and the spirit of the team, and it has to translate to defense. And the reason why I brought that up to you is because of Beast Mode and Marshawn Lynch. 1,000%. To me, that is my example of how a running back could be effective.
1,000%. Like, people don't understand, like, Marshawn hung out with the D-line. Like,
I could see that.
Yeah, like, he understood how they kind of correlated a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, we kind of had the same mindset in a sense, because every play, he's getting hit. Every play, we're getting hit. You know what I mean? So he understood that, and he, for whatever reason, you know, we just clicked. So I agree with what you're saying. Like, I think as a running back, you have to have that mentality of a D lineman and understand how they correlate as well. Because Marshawn understood if he's running the ball hard and he's running the ball, we get the rest and we get after the quarterback. Like, he understood that, and that was his thing. So as a running back, as a young running back, you got to understand that, you know, you have to have the mindset and understand that your job is to obviously, you know, stay on the field as long as possible for your guys to be able to hunt when they get out there, you know, on defense. So it makes sense to me.
Jacksonville's Cliff Averill with us here on Midday Chalk, the former Boilermaker. Purdue has also produced 3 Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. Mm.
Who's the other?
Can you name them?
I only got Drew Brees. I don't know anybody else.
Bob Greasy.
I should have known that, actually.
And Lynn Dawson.
I didn't know that.
Way back before Cliff Averill was born.
It's before Cliff thought about even leaving the state of Florida.
But that is a pretty good trivia question. As a matter of fact, I think that may be the only school that has produced three Super Bowl winning quarterbacks.
We don't get no love, man. This is something, too. Most people don't realize that we've had a Boilermaker in the Super Bowl for the last, I want to say, 16 years.
Wow. That is really impressive. Right before you join us off air, we talked about, you know, your off-season workout. You said you're getting ready to go to Hawaii to work out with Michael Bennett. We're always reaching for something here, particularly in the off-season, to talk about. And when Michael Bennett says, Seattle time, screw you, I'm not going to talk, and I'm going to get my boys to follow, is that a distraction, or is that just something that we like to say is a distraction?
That's exactly what it is. You guys like to say it's a distraction. I mean, being in our locker room, there's a lot of different personalities, you know, and the cool thing with Coach Carroll is he allows guys to be themselves. That's kind of what has allowed us to be successful. But as far as for, you know, Mike B saying something or, you know, no, it doesn't distract us. I mean, because we know who, I know who Mike Bennett really is. And if he says he's going to do that, he probably is. But that doesn't distract us from going out there and me playing for him and him playing for me. Or, you know, Sherm being, you know, who he is. Like, none of that. I don't think any of that plays a factor in us playing for each other on Sundays.
Just like I'm guessing Marshawn Lynch was never a distraction. I can't imagine.
Man, Marshawn, that, no, never, no. Honestly. That's just something people needed to talk about. But Marshawn was probably one of the best teammates I've ever had.
Oh, yeah. I bet you guys loved him. Now, just, you know, cut a slice of that brain out and at least tell us what, you know, what he's like because he is such an interesting dude. And I don't think any of you guys care that – he is in Oakland. I think you might have wanted to see him stick around, but just, you know, a little bit about Marshawn.
Yeah, no, I'm happy for him that he's in Oakland right now. He gets an opportunity. Like, people don't understand how prideful he is about the city of Oakland. Like, he puts on for Oakland. He has, I mean, he probably be mayor one day out there or something like that, you know. So for him to have the opportunity to be able to play in Oakland before they leave, you know, I think that's a childhood dream. Like, that's a dream of his. So for him to be able to do it, I'm happy for him. I know what it means for Oakland. I know what it means for his brand and what he's able to do for that city. So, you know, hats off to him. And, again, like I said, he's probably one of the best teammates I've ever had. Anything that I've ever needed from him, from charity to just, you know, just talking business, he's always been there.
What's the because there was talk a couple of weeks ago that Colin Kaepernick was in talks to be on
Seahawks.
What do you think the, like, there's a difference in the media perception and what people act. What do you believe most players or you guys feel about him?
I think what he's been able to do has been phenomenal personally. You know, obviously it rubs some people the wrong way, but nobody wants to talk about these things that he's talking about. And I think as a professional athlete, you know, sometimes you should voice your opinion. They want us to stay on this path. And, you know, as you can tell what they're doing to him, I think they're obviously blackballing him. So this is why some guys are afraid to venture off and speak on some of these things. But if we don't stand for something, then, you know what I mean, like, so many people follow our lead. So why not speak on some of these things that are happening? People ask me all the time, like, so why do you care what's going on to, you know, such and such? It's like, why shouldn't I care? You know what I mean? Like, that's a whole human being that just got killed for whatever reason. Who knows what if it's wrong, right or wrong, but that's a human being. You know what I mean? And that's what I am. So why wouldn't I care? You know what I mean? So I'm hats off to him, man, and what he's been able to do. It's unfortunate that he can't get a job because of it.
You guys would have welcomed him with open arms.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I think it's still a possibility we could get him. And I hopefully we can, because he's a heck of a ball player, too. He's just the fact that he's speaking on stuff that makes people uncomfortable. So teams are blackballing him, I think.
Tough to argue with that.
I mean, it really is. I mean, you look at some of the backup quarterbacks around the league. But
you can't tell me he can't be a backup for somebody.
Nah.
At least.
Yeah, the only other thing they were saying about maybe his contract demands, what he was looking for, that might be for a backup.
Possibly.
That might be the only thing that kind
possibly.
Slowed it down.
I mean, that could be an excuse as well.
Very true.
I mean, the man's played in the Super Bowl. The man's been in the NFC Championship game a few times, leading a team. You know what I mean? So he has more experience in that than most of the quarterbacks that are, you know, starting for some of these teams. So you can't get a job. I mean, I don't know. That's just kind of weird.
People have thought about trading 5 here for 7.
If you have not heard the Cliff Averill story off the football field, it is an unbelievable one. He builds a brand new home in Haiti for every sack that he is able to produce. Last year, 11.5. We'll come back. We'll discuss that with Jacksonville's Cliff Averill. Glad you're with us. This is Midday Chalk. Baloo, Cowart, and Wiggins with you today till 3.
Run through a motherfucking face. Then you don't have to worry about him no more.
Personal foul on the Sir Roughness number 6 on the kicking team. 15-yard penalty will be enforced from the end of the kick. First down.
Wow, that's on Johnny Hecker, the Ram punter.
I don't know if you want to go around doing that to that guy.
What do you think when a punter comes after you, Cliff? You
just
look at him and laugh?
Well, it's not funny if you get hit from behind. Like,
no.
You don't see it
no.
coming. So, you know, if anybody watched the rest of that, you know, we kind of punked them a few plays after that. But, yeah, that was unnecessary.
All right, Cliff Averill is with us. Love the hat, man. Love the hat.
Oh, yes.
Now, first of all, we're going to talk about, we did this a year ago with you. How long have you done this now? How many years has it been that you've given back and built homes from scratch out in Haiti? And why Haiti? It's part of your...
Yes.
Background.
So yes, both my parents are Haitian. I'm Haitian. I used to go to Haiti every summer as a kid. Till I was about 15, 16.
Tell us about it.
Amazing. You know, I used to go back and see my grandmother, and pretty much the rest of my family was there, my aunties and a few of my cousins and whatnot. Just go back for a week, maybe 2 weeks, you know, just to check on my grandma, but also, you know, just get away. It was paradise, honestly. You know, you're on the island, the weather's amazing, the beaches are awesome. So it was just a bonding time with the family, and I enjoyed it. And then I went a stretch, you know, 16 on up, you know, college and going to the league. And so I hadn't had a chance to go until last year, where I decided I wanted to go and build a school. Elementary school out there, and we started building that. We're in the process of actually finishing it up, should be done next year. And then this past year, I pledged after the Hurricane Matthew, I pledged to build a home for every sec that I got. And you know, we went in April. We went back in April to check on the school, but also to move some of the people into the homes.
It really is pretty incredible, and there a lot of guys do a lot of great things, but you have a direct tie. There's a passion there.
Yes.
You believe that that you're helping people, and I know they believe that you're helping them. And Hurricane Matthew is something we can all identify with because
yes.
We were all touched by it.
Yep.
Every time you see one of those massive storms sweep across those islands, you can't help but feel
bad, especially for a country like Haiti, because, you know, obviously the earthquake 8-9 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, this hurricane, and it's like they're in the middle of all that stuff every year. You know, there's always something going on, unfortunately. But me being Haitian, me being in the situation that I'm in, I try to use my platform to try to help that country out as much as possible.
It's amazing. My son asked me when he was in high school, he saw how bad it was. He said, "Dad, why don't they leave? If they make it to international waters, they can come." I said, "No, you're talking about Cubans."
Yeah.
Haitians can make it to Miami, and they're going to send them back. Okay?
Right back, yeah.
And then my wife went to Punta Cana on a girls' trip with her friends.
Dominican Republic, yeah.
And what happened, I didn't realize they were right next to each other.
Most people don't know it's the same island.
Because it's all beautiful here, and then right here, it's the She said that they were actually, and this is a true story, they were rounding up darker-skinned people and taking them back
across, to Haiti?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's like we don't want you over here. So
yeah.
The fact that folks are in those conditions and they can't escape, they need people like you and Wyclef Jean. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he
he's still doing his thing.
But they need you guys to come back and really pay attention to what's going on.
I agree. Like you said, most people don't even realize that the DR in Haiti is all on one island, split down the middle. You know, and it's unfortunate that, you know, the Dominicans are actually, so they don't really get along with Haitians for whatever reason, although Haitians helped them get their freedom. But, you know, it's a lot of history that goes behind it. But, you know, I truly believe, especially, I mean, we have like over 30 Haitians in the NFL by itself. So it's like, for me, I truly believe if all of us could come together, we can make a big difference in that country, you know, with just helping and you know, hopefully getting a political part of it going as well to build that country to be what it should be.
Where'd you get the idea? I know Warrick Dunn has done this. I think he's over 150 now, but I've never heard of anyone else who's been able to, who has thought of this particular idea. How did it all come about for you?
Well, there's a foundation called New Story Foundation that is built. They've been building homes in Haiti since the earthquake. But the reason I partnered up with them mostly is because I'm a firm believer in trying to stimulate the economy as well. So most places, they'll come in and bring their own workers and bring their own, you know, material and different things like that. Well, New Story, they actually use, it's Haitians that are actually building the homes. It's all Haitian material. You know, the Haitians know how to work all the tractors and whatever they need to build these homes. So it's stimulating the economy as well. You know what I mean? So I partnered up with them, and I just knew I wanted to do something after the earthquake, and I thought it'd be fun to, you know, tie it in with, you know, a stat
Yes, like instead of feed him fish, teach a man to fish, that
exactly,
type of deal.
Exactly, exactly. I think that's the only way to change a country. Instead of, because people, you know, it's nothing wrong with giving, but when you give so much, I think it takes away from people actually wanting to grow and being able to do on their own, yeah. You know? And sometimes you giving, you know, pairs of shoes away, a million pairs of shoes away, that takes away from the local people that actually sell mm-hmm. shoes.
Yeah, it's true.
And now when those shoes run out, the local person, he's already out of business.
Right.
Everybody has, nobody has shoes now, yeah. You know? So I'm a firm believer in helping people to actually learn how to do things instead of giving.
How can people... And we appreciate you giving, but how can people that want to get involved actually donate resources, monies, or whatever? You have a website?
Yes, I have my foundation has a website. It's the Cliff Averill Family Foundation.org, and that's where you'll see all the different things that we're doing. You can donate there as well. We do a few donation. What are they called? Well, I do this Dining to Make a Difference.
Like events,
yeah,
stuff,
different
yeah.
events that we do during the year to raise money to do stuff in Haiti, do stuff here in Jacksonville, and also in Seattle.
You know, coming up here locally.
Yeah.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes, the fun day.
That's going to be a blast, huh?
Yes, this Sunday, June 25th. This is my fourth year of doing it. And it's a fun day. It's going to be, you know, a home run derby, face painting, music, food. And the biggest thing about it all is it's free. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes something free. So, you know, and my whole concept behind this is, you know, to get, you know, the community together, bring the community out to just have fun and enjoy the day. Again, it's free. There's food. We're also doing, the home run derby. Whoever competes in that and wins, we're actually going to give them a pair of tickets to the Jags Seahawks game this year.
Nice.
So yeah, I would like everybody to come out and, you know, have a good grand old time.
Where is it, Joe?
Middleburg. Right there at the Paul Armstrong Park.
Yes.
1 to 5 p.m. on Sunday, this coming Sunday.
Bring suntan because it's going to be hot.
No doubt about that.
Yeah, hey, I don't need sunscreen.
No.
You told me last week you did.
No, I don't need no sunscreen.
You said you were out on the beach on Father's Day and you were getting
You know what?
Born.
I might
you
need
told
sunscreen.
Me that.
I might not need suntan. That's what it is. Because the difference, right?
Yeah, you don't need suntan.
Winning a Super Bowl, getting a great sack. You know what it's like to have the fans loving you, and that must be a cool feeling. What's it like, though, when a home is completed and you walk those individuals into their brand new place?
There's nothing like it because you're changing lives. You know, this is generational. These people own these homes now. You know, they're also, I think it was cool about these homes as well, they're also hurricane and earthquake proof. So these can be shelters for the community as well. You know, to see the smiles on these people's faces, you know, they're crying, they're ecstatic about just having this opportunity to be able to have a home. It's an amazing feeling to be able to just be able to provide that. And so it's a cool thing for me.
Yeah, and if you have a house like that, that means that there's increased cost. So that every bit of help will go a long way to make sure those houses are getting done. And by the way,
for sure,
we were talking about Marshawn and just, you know, kind of how kooky and kind of tough nut to crack on the outside. He spent his 31st birthday down there with you working.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. That speaks volume of the type of person he is and all my other teammates that came out. But yeah, it was his 31st birthday that week, and he you know, he decided he wanted to come out to Haiti with me and do some of the things we were doing. So hats off to Marshawn, Mike Bennett, Stephen Tulloch. I mean, the list goes on of all the guys that came, and I definitely appreciate those guys.
That's cool, man. You got some cool and different teammates, and you got a couple of cool coaches. You talked about Pete Carroll. What about Cable, man? Cable looks like he's buck wild.
You know what? I don't deal with Cable.
You don't deal with Cable?
Nah, he's an O-line coach. You know, from time to time, you know, we might have a few words if his O-line, they're cheating the snap count or something like that. But yeah, we don't really communicate too often.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's great to have you back. It really is. It's tough to believe that it's going to be year 10 for you.
Wow.
In the league. That'll be good down the road with that whole pension program and everything that works. But how much longer do you, God willing, with the body, how much longer do you want to do this? And have you thought about post-NFL? What's Cliff Averill going to do when his days are done in the league.
Might be up here with you guys. Might be up here on the talking football with guys.
Come back you can do it out in Seattle.
No, I actually live in Charlotte, but you know, it's a quick trip here back home to be able to get on the radio. That'd be fun.
Now, how did Charlotte go with Detroit and Seattle?
I like Charlotte.
And Jacksonville.
Great city.
Yeah. We'll be there in 2 weeks for the ACC.
They closed my sports bar down.
Meetings.
Jillian's. I used to go to Jillian's.
Oh, really? Okay.
They shut it down.
We like Charlotte. So the ACC meetings are in Applebee's. But why Charlotte?
Well, when I first got out of school, me and my wife first got out of school, she actually got a job there.
Okay.
So as we were both looking for, you know, hey, where do we want to raise our kids? She didn't want to go to Jacksonville. She thought it was too slow. She's from Indianapolis. I definitely didn't want to go to Indianapolis. So, you know, we picked Charlotte, and it was a hub, so we can get to both cities fast. So, you know, and it's an awesome city, so it was pretty cool.
Nice five-hour ride. Up 95, take 26, and hit 77.
No doubt.
Right there.
That's it.
Exactly. Here's a couple of texts. So, way to be, Cliff. That's a real impact. So proud to have ties to our community. So a nice little shout out to you. And then also a couple of other guys just talking about just the tie back to Haiti. Even Cabby chimed in. He said the average median income for a Haitian is less than $10,000 yearly. He said a lot of his buddy Cabbies, are from Espanola, Haiti. So he said, thanks, Cliff A. So there's a lot of people out there. Obviously, you can go to the Cliff Averill FamilyFoundation.org, and you can do as much as you possibly can to help that effort. And then also the 4th Annual Family Fun Day, which is at Paul C. Armstrong Park in Middleburg. That is this Sunday.
Yes, please come out. It's free. Everybody loves free stuff. So come out, and you know, I'll be there having a grand old time with everybody. And, you know, again, just to get the kids active and bring the community together.
Great to see you again. Thanks for coming by.
Man, I appreciate you guys having me, man. Like I said, you know, hopefully in the next 2 to 3 years, once I'm retired, I can be on 1010XL with you guys.
We
already got half your family.
You got my brother out here, so hey.
Gotta convince your wife to get out of Charlotte. I mean, we could always set up an ISDN line right in your crib in Charlotte.
See, it's technology to make it happen.
Yeah, we can do that. We'll make a few more announcements as well on anything that's coming up for you on Sunday. But thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, there you go. It's Cliff Averill in his 10th year with the Seattle Seahawks. Of course, played his college ball at Purdue. He is from right here in Jacksonville, Florida.